now July 28th, and this whole what happened at L'Hermitage, the Portal restaurant in Beverly Hills that Jermaine went to the other day. There was this article on a Malaysian named Mr. Low, L-O-W, and he owned the L'Hermitage in Beverly Hills. He bought it in 2009. Now he's being investigated by somebody, and he also owns a couple other places, maybe something in New York City. But is he that when you said there's a new
they've
owner,
lost they've lost them they lost the L'Hermitage. A new owner has it now.
Yeah, so he bought it in 2009, so he is not the owner now.
He had it. We had to take it away because he broke the chain. He broke the chain.
The chain of its function as a parallel world transition.
The connection.
He broke the chain to, another world.
Yes, and so he had to. He lost it.
Right, and so someone new has bought it, and have they got the chain back?
We allowed it, yes.
Yeah, so I was thinking he was a Malaysian, so he might have been part of the Maybank world, which might have some parallel world economy going on. Was he?
They're
part
trying
of that?
To get that established. They're trying to get that established, but it's troublesome. See, you can never peg the currency to anything. So it's like now you're going to see Bitcoin was going to be okay. Bitcoin was going to be okay, but now it's lost. It's not even a currency anymore. And a couple of worlds are actually using the Bitcoin. But don't do it, Bob. Don't do the Bitcoin. It's not a real currency. Not real. It won't
right.
be any good. So when they try to pay you with Bitcoin, they say it's so wonderful. They tell them, say, you eat it. I'm not doing it. So say, you eat it. That's it.
Okay. So, but there was nothing special about Mr. Lowe. Did he know about the parallel world economy?
He most certainly did. Does.
Right. And so is he pissed that he doesn't have the connection?
But he's pissed that he got caught with his panties down.
Okay. All right. So
and how you fuck that up? You got it. You got it. You have it. You can control everything. There's no issue or problem. You have it. Then you let it go to such a degree that it turns into a thing that then causes a huge multinational world problem. No.
Right.
You need to get out. Get the fuck out. You done.
Right.
Okay. You did.
So, Anybody we know, I assume it's not me, owns the L'Hermitage now? Anybody of note?
Yes, but we can't say because we can't say.
All right.
They can't stand the, they could not stand the exposure. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to say. We just can't say today because you can't run the exposure. It's
yeah.
too exposed.
Okay. So it's not being exposed now. It's well.
We are not going to expose it. That's correct. And the reason we're not going to expose it is because there's a benefit that for us that we are going to use.
Okay, I got to move it forward. Now we're going to go into a bit of philosophy and more on the post-word phenomenon. The philosopher Wittgenstein, 100 years ago, he said, quote, to imagine a language means to imagine a form of life. Now, it's not saying to speak creates life, but to imagine a language means to imagine a form of life. Was that the way humans created language? Or was language
no.
always there?
No. That's an insidious problem. It's a Gutenberg problem. See, it's not, they didn't invent language. It wasn't language. It was the printing press. That's what it was. It wasn't language because it was ooh, ah, bing, bang, dolly, wally, ding, dong, bee, ah, ee, ah, ah. That's communication, too. But until the printing press or an album, an LP, made that, it didn't matter.
Until what made that? Until the printing press made...
An album, a record album, a printing press, the Android meme... Some attachment that made it a connectable unit of expression of knowing. A unit
that,
of expression of knowing.
That was the Dark Age effect? Are you saying that's useful, what you're just saying?
Dimmer,
or that's not?
The dim age, not the dark age, the dim age.
You're describing...
The dim width. for the
Yeah, you were saying Android Meme album book. That's a disservice. The original Bing Bang Bong uttering grunting was more powerful.
Yes.
Right.
That's right. Very good. You got that, Bob, and we didn't even fuck it up. That's good. You're doing better at this, Bob. You're doing better.
Good.
You know, four or five more millennia, and you might make it all right.
All right. So as we move, now let's go into the post word. What is that, the post
word
environment?
There is no post. There is no post word. There's only the it's no post. You can't have a post word.
Hmm. All right. You do.
Because then you'd have to have a. But then you'd have to have a beginning. No. We're gonna follow you. What we did say, but don't call it a post word, because then you got to have a pre word. If you got a pre word, you're dead. So you can't do that.
So you did say post word in passing, but you were trying to say something else. So describe what you were.
No. We were saying post word. Post word is in after the word, not post as in post mortem. Is after life, is a post-mortem death. No, we were saying that that position is not in the living, so it's not alive. So if it's not alive for us, it's never alive.
Right.
And that's a very different conversation than a post-living experience.
Right, so what is this post-living experience that you were referring to when you said post-word?
Let's call it a password. Let's call it password.
Okay.
Oh, remember Betty White and Alan Alda, they was on password. Do it like password. That's what we meant. We meant password.
Okay, P-A-S-S, not P-A-S-T.
Yeah.
P-A-S-S.
Password.
So what is, what is the chip body merging with the chemical body creating this password situation?
Every time you do anything now, it includes a password.
Right. So what is that new situation? It's post-guff or past the guff. What is more powerful, your gestures? Are your words still powerful in the password phase? We know you're there.
It's a Bob Stewart. It's a Bob Stewart Goodson Todman production.
But what is it the sixth and seventh bodies that makes the password, the hexadic and the septadic moving into the octad? Is that the new form of communication?
We could say yes, but it would be a little bit too far off.
Okay, so try to say what the password situation today is that's different from previous word realities. What is it about this password? Is it people having more and more ESP?
Oh, Jane Meadows and Steve Allen.
Right, but is it people having more ESP?
No.
Is it people not? Here's an interesting point. McLuhan used to say there were no connections in matter. He even said blessed separateness. So the connecting in communication, that's the fallen state. So Ion recommends
the less state.
Yeah, the less state. Oh, you don't like to use the word the fallen word.
Well, we don't want to confuse them, because when people listen to it, they're going to confuse that into the state they're trying to overcome and a different state that they would find themselves in. But see, you're in a state of less than this or a fallen little man. You can climb back, but you can fall back to a fallen state because you were able to separate yourself from your power one time. So you're so powerful, you can do it again. We haven't talked about that portion of the program, but some might, and yet they're still eternal.
Right, they could fall again, is what you were saying.
They can.
Right, but, okay, so less than...
But we have not made it to do about that on purpose. We're trying to be good thoughts.
Right. We were saying the fallen, the less than state, words are powerful, but now that the I-cell is mingling with us and Ion's here and you're becoming into the physical... The communication, okay, so
We are physical. We're not becoming physical anymore, Bob. We are physical. That's why you have these ramifications. That's why these things are happening. That's why things are shuffling. That's why things are twisting. That's why things are up or down or over or under. That's why things are being so shifted. That's we're
right.
Keeping it. We got the control. We got the vertical. We got the horizontal. It's okay. It's not a problem. We're soft with it. It's going to be all right, Bob.
All right, hold it. So we have this new condition where you're physical. And did we do that? Did you become physical before the blood moon in December 2010? Or is it in the eternity level? In a ratio of timing, when did this happen? How much of us talking to you made that possible? Or did it begin when you started talking to us on March 18, 2009? That's when you became physical?
No.
You used to say, if we're non-physical, how come we can hear you? How come, Bob, you can hear us? That was a good question because that meant you had to be physical for me to hear you, correct?
That's correct.
That was a leading question.
Those that have ears to hear.
Okay, so that's why I could hear you, because I had ears to hear?
You caused it.
Right,
we'd say you caused it.
Did we cause you becoming physical, merging with the physical?
We would say yes.
Okay.
We would say yes. We don't
right.
like to. We don't like to because it puts you into a different. See, you're already so high and lifted up, you can barely stand yourself now. So to take you even higher just makes that worse.
Yeah.
So we're trying to soften it to keep it easy and light. So. There's not so much acrimony in your stead. We're trying to soften it so you can have a good life. We would like for you to have a good life.
Okay, listen to this, Ian. Some of the INETs have noticed this. I pretend I noticed it, but I don't know if I notice it anymore. But INETs notice they're being stared at. Are those on the drops emanating something that the little
Absolutely.
Man notices?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are.
Do I emanate something when I'm walking along the resort row?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So people,
but
I'm
you're
looking
so,
at people.
You're so, yeah, but see, you're so nefarious. The nepotism has got you so badly that you think that they're supposed to be looking at you, though. So, Bob, this is not fair for you. You're like,
right.
If they weren't looking at you, you'd be mad because they're not looking at you, see? And most
yeah.
people don't have that as an experience. You're like,
well, this is what I
know. Person. Here, the most beautiful person in the whole wide world is walking by, and they're not even stopping to give me the look into the gaze. Of this beautifulness,
yeah.
and I have to look at their fat, ugly rolls of fat sitting around all over the place and dripping and hanging off of these vulgar, ugly people with their clothes too tight, fat dripping all over the place. And here you are, just absolutely a perfect specimen, and they can't stand it. They can't stand it if they don't look at your beautiness.
What was the last word? Beefiness? Beautiness. Yes, I walk along, and I'm looking at them to see if they're looking at me, and most of them. They look, or some might say hi, but generally they're seen to be in their own worlds and not noticing me. But they are noticing me, and they're making sure I don't notice that they're noticing me. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I was looking back to see. If you were looking back to see.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, here we go. We're going into Thompson, a quote that's going to make you puke, but let's try it. He says, he says, welcome back to the astral plane. Mystics, shamans, are you there, Ian? Everything okay?
We do, we are, we have.
Yeah, welcome back to the astral plane. This is page 227 of his book, Coming Into Being. Mystics, shamans, and my old ancestral Celtic animus once knew how to make their way through the astral plane quickly and move up into the world of spiritual understanding. Now, when he talks about the astral plane, he's not imagining parallel worlding. He's thinking it's some subtle form of traveling, right?
Right. He thinks they're like riding in a buggy, a horse and buggy.
he then says, they understood, these Celtic animists, mystics, and shamans, they understood the danger of being captured by the fairies and warned that one should never eat the food of witches or fairies. No such luck for this latest generation of humanity, nursed on amphetamines and MTV and graduated into the dopamine rush of virtual reality. Now their neuroreceptors are gone and schizophrenia has become not an individual illness but an entire culture. You agree with that statement?
No.
No, you don't.
Not
okay.
enough to raise consciousness. One must lower the spirit into the earth, Bob.
Okay, here he, so he says, I see this condition as a tragedy and not a farce, because in all the great spiritual traditions of the world, there is a recognition that when we have become enlightened, the transformation occurs in the physical body. That's a correct thing. The transformation occurs in the physical body? You agree with those words?
Well, it's kind of like the shoreline where the island of knowing meets the unfathomable sea of our own being is the landscape of myth. When you turn around and say that, what you just said is a bunch of bullshit.
Right, and he does use the meeting of land and water as a big metaphor, the edge, the interface of the two. So you're within his metaphorical context to say that, but you're using it to criticize his position. All right.
Well, no worse than the acid test is that all paranoid of fundamentalists lack a sense of humor. For humor is the chaos, flux, and flexibility of ambiguity and multidimensionality, and that kind of erotic liveliness is precisely what the fundamentalist is trying to eliminate in holding rigidly to its doctrine.
Yeah, and is he a victim of some kind of fundamentalism?
Apparently. It's your William Irwin Thompson.
All right. Has he decided to listen to our recordings or not? Yet?
It should be possible to say that there really is such a thing as genius, and that what it is precisely a surprising and unexpected movement away from collective patterns of behavior and perceived wisdom. So if his words are true, then yes, he may indeed listen to you.
All right. So he says, Thompson says, as I noted before, in the spiritual evolution of consciousness, there are three stages of transformation: illumination, initiation, and enlightenment. Illumination has its locus of action in the etheric body. This is the familiar condition of the awakening of Kundalini, the opening of the third eye, and the discovery of the whole system of chakras in the etheric body. What the yogis do not talk about, however, is that the immediate result of illumination is the illumination of one's darkness. One's instinctive self becomes activated. One's pre-verbal mind, and Ionis dished the word pre-verbal. One's pre-verbal mind, especially the very first thought one had in coming out of the mother's body, becomes intensely energized. There's an occult relationship between the mother and the experience of birth, and the tantric shakti and the experience of yogic rebirth. This period of illumination is a very difficult and rocky time of confrontation with the shadow, with the preconscious and unconscious as companions through the first experience of the superconscious or samadhi. Is that the biggest load of bullshit you've ever heard?
Like the shadow that does not permit us to jump over it, but moves with us to maintain its proper distance. Pollution is nature's answer to culture. When we have learned to recycle pollution into potent information, we will have passed over completely into the new cultural ecology. About as good much as that is bullshit, Bob.
All right, good. Because that was Thompson, I think you were saying. I recognized it.
Yeah, it is. It's sad, isn't it?
Okay, so that was the illumination phase. Now here's this initiation phase. If one is able to stumble one's way through this illumination stage, then the next stage is initiation. The locus of activity for initiation is in the astral body, as opposed to the etheric body. This sequence of experiences is sort of like a foundation giving you a matching grant. That's in quotes. For each of the subtle bodies, a disembodied colleague is sent to serve as a helper in the spiritual work. So for the etheric body, a jinn, J-I-N-N, is sent. I am taking this term from the Quran and Sufism in particular. We get our word genie from this term jinn. We humans are made of earth, but these elementals are made of fire. The jinn is the colleague of the shaman and works close to the physical plane on the etheric plane. The jinn is good at weather changes or ensouling machines or weapons to achieve magical results. Race car drivers or jet pilots sometimes stumble unconsciously into this realm when they superstitiously ensoul their machines and then do absolutely amazing feats that no ordinary driver or pilot can equal. Is that all a pretty good statement? Is that true?
Ridiculous. The teacher of history's work should be ideally not simply a description of past cultures, but a performance of the culture in which we live and are increasingly taking our being.
Right. I recognize that one. That's bullshit. You don't like that.
We don't.
Okay.
When we come to an edge, we come to a frontier.
Oh, gotta go? Yeah, he had to go.